Good morning, Nashville.
Good morning.
This is Uprising. We're happy to be here with you on a Sunday morning. It'll be the first Sunday morning in November.
Already. Oh, my goodness.
Already. And it's also Fallback Sunday, so everybody's getting an extra hour this morning.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Which is very good for my partner here, David Ross.
Yeah, I need a lot of sleep.
And also for me, because we will be leading worship this morning.
That's right. I'm the band leader at Bellevue Presbyterian Church in Bellevue, and Christy is the lead pastor.
I am. So I always enjoy this Sunday when we get an extra hour of sleep. So I hope you all have used it well. Glad you are tuning in with us this morning. What are we going to be talking about today, David?
We're talking about self-image. Self-image and how we think of ourselves, and well, specifically self-image in the modern social media age.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, a lot to go over there.
Yeah, so I think most of us have probably found our way into the world of social media, and I think it does have a profound impact on how we see ourselves in the world. We probably have learned more about people through social media use than maybe we ever have before, as we discover what people like or don't like. Particularly, I think Facebook is one that we learn a lot about people and their tastes in so many areas of their lives. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite social media platform, David?
Favorite platform these days is probably Instagram. It used to be Facebook, like, all the way. And then Facebook has become super cluttered, as everyone knows. Like, it used to be more about actual interaction with your friends, and now it's, I don't really know what it is now. It's a constant feed of just ridiculous videos. Usually pretty awesome and funny videos, but it's too much. So Instagram's a little cleaner. I just get it more. Yeah.
I don't know. It's my least favorite, right? I think. But I'm not in the world of Snapchat at all.
Oh, me neither.
Okay. I don't understand it, and I don't really want to understand it. So
yeah.
I did finally start understanding Twitter, though, and I think maybe Twitter is my most favorite now, because I find it kind of funny, and I've sort of met or discovered, is probably a better word, some very interesting people via Twitter.
Yeah, I used to love Twitter. It was kind of a comedic outlet for me, or like, you know, inspirational quotes.
I saw something funny on Twitter today that it was about KFC. Do you know that KFC only follows 11 people, David?
That's a little, that seems like selfish or something. Like, oh, we don't want to follow anybody. We're too cool. We're KFC. But why 11, though? That's very specific.
But it is very specific, and it is something that is worth noting, that there is a reason why, and apparently a very intelligent, or at least very perceptive person on Twitter discovered, I think his name was like The Edge or Edge, something like that.
The Edge from YouTube.
It was The Edge, of course.
So what did he say?
I think he is very perceptive, The Edge. Well, he said that, discovered that apparently there are 11 people KFC follows. They follow the Five Spice Girls, and they follow six men named Herb. And that is significant, because the deliciousness of KFC consists of their special recipe of 11 herbs and spices.
You know, somebody in their creative or social media PR department had to, like, come up with that.
They did.
That's the cool part.
They did, and they're probably feeling like, you know, the Edge won the lottery, you know, that that it's like finally someone discovered it. And so there were a lot of tweets about how the social media employee guru deserves a raise, really, really does. So that, to me, is one of the best things about Twitter, is just things like that.
Yeah, so stories like that make me think social media is not all bad.
It isn't all bad. I think it's amazing that I've been able to reconnect with people, able to communicate. I still like Facebook, I guess, in terms of messaging and finding people that I've lost track of over the years. And, you know, so that's one of the best things I think about it. I also read a lot of articles that friends post on either Facebook or Twitter, and so can do a lot of good reading on it.
Sure.
I think one of the really bad things about, I found it more about Facebook than Twitter, but I do more reading on Twitter than actual tweeting myself. But I think that social media, at least in my experience, has been a place where people feel like they can say things or, you know, write things to people that they would never say face to face.
You know what they call that?
What?
It's called a keyboard warrior.
Oh.
Have you ever heard that term?
Nope. No.
Yep.
But it is, you feel, I guess, very empowered or safe to be able to attack somebody in that manner when, you know, you're not really looking at them. But I think that's one of the real downsides of it, is that it promotes a kind of incivility, perhaps.
Sure.
Or just people can feel empowered to behave in ways that they would think long and hard about doing it face to face.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can get kind of reckless with it. There's also, there's talking about like the negative effects of social media. I've heard it referred to as comparative anxiety. And this is more has to do with Instagram, but definitely Facebook as well, which I think we've all heard of this. It's just when people post kind of their highlight reels of their life, they're posting the best and, you know, their best looking pictures of themselves, or, you know, exotic vacations, or just the highlight reel. And that's what you're constantly seeing. It creates all kinds of like depression and feeling like you're not good enough, or your life isn't as exciting as it could be or should be. And nobody is intentionally like trying to make us feel that way with their posts. It's just a thing that's happening. Like, it's just reality.
Just in line with what you're saying, David, is there was a piece just done in Time Magazine this year called Why Instagram is the Worst Social Media for Mental Health. And it was an article written by Amanda McMillan on their May 25th, 2017 edition of the publication. And it pointed out especially that it is the worst network for teens and young adults. And I do think it's because of it's a picture platform. And that, you know, just along with what you're saying, that, you know, that we compare ourselves to others, and, you know, you feel like you don't look good enough, or you don't dress good enough, or you don't have enough friends, or whatever it is that the pictures you're looking at that you wish your life, you know, would be like. And and so I think you've discovered a clip or something to share in terms of music that I'd never heard before. So what do you got for us?
The BBC clip? Or are we talking about songs?
What do you want to do, David? I don't know.
We're improvising this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got a good clip from the BBC. It is Dr. Michael Sinclair. He's a psychologist, and he's just talking more about this comparative anxiety as it relates to Instagram. So let's hear from...
And everything's better in a British accent.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So are we creating a false image of ourselves? I mean, I know when we travel, you meet someone who you've never met before, who doesn't know your family or your friends, and you can start sort of embellishing your life and sort of kind of maybe giving you a representative, a creation. Are you saying that's what we're doing online?
Well, I think there's some truth in that, yes. I think we sort of present an idealised image of ourselves, and therefore we're sort of hiding other parts of ourselves that are less admirable to other people, less kind of things that people want to see. So, and I think there's a risk to that as well, because as we hide the kind of pain and suffering that's inevitable in our life, we kind of lose touch with a kind of human connectedness and the opportunity to be empathised with our full human experience.
I mean, that's a great clip, and I would agree that we want to present, you know, this perfect image of ourselves or our families to the world. And so we do present an idealized version of ourselves. And I think we also, we look at others and we see an idealized image as well, you know, that we think, oh, look how perfect their lives are. Look at, oh, what a happy family, or what a great marriage. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a great job he has. And he seems to be so fulfilled by it. And that may not be absolutely 100% true. What do you think about what he said, David?
I think he's spot on. And he talks about like what we're missing out on. Like we're missing out on the full human experience is what he's saying. Because by doing this, by broadcasting like perfection or whatever, we're covering up pain and suffering is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So he's hinting at like we're suffering to some capacity, and just masking it or something. I don't know.
I think social media can lack a lot of honesty. Yeah. And real depth. It's one of the things I've always appreciated about scripture is that the stories and some of the different parts of it, you know, it's warts and all with with, you know, people's lives. I mean, you couldn't find more dysfunctional families than probably in the opening chapters of Genesis. You know, as you look at all of the tricks and treachery and violence and things that happen within the biblical first families. But then also in people like David, you know, King David, shepherd boy David, who does some incredible things, but then also really, really messes up, you know, and uses his power in a way that is inappropriate. And
sure.
That all of that is recounted. And we tend to on social media, you know, it's like we're not going to broadcast our greatest failure, and we're not going to take our selfies. You know, the first thing we do in the morning when we wake up, we're not going to get out our cameras or our phones and decide to take a selfie with, you know, our hair going every which way and, you know, without our makeup on, if you're females or male, I guess. But
maybe that'll be the next trend.
Yeah,
like posting your low lights.
But have you noticed, wasn't there, it seems like it was the Inquirer or maybe it's Us Weekly, or there was some magazine that did a regular feature that was called, it was something about celebrities without makeup. It's like, this is what they look
I've
like.
I've heard of that.
And it's like, well, yeah, even the people that we think are beautiful that are celebrities, you know, a lot of the photos that we see of them are not really 100% real. They're touched up, they're airbrushed.
No.
Sorry to break it to you, but yeah, yes. It's like it's been digitally manipulated. You know, or they're wearing a lot of makeup and they have great makeup designers and, you know, people to help them with hair and makeup to look their best. And so
Yeah. I've got a scripture here.
Great.
From 1 Samuel, and definitely has
Speaking
to do with
of David.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And has to do with this God doesn't care about outer appearances. He looks at the heart, and that's so. Samuel, maybe you could set it up better. He's out to find the next king of Israel.
He is. Right? Things have not been working out with Saul. You know, and God was never fully into the whole, you know, give him a king, but they demanded a king, and so he gave them some warnings through Samuel, and Saul has been living up to all the warnings against a king, but, you know, they've gone down this path, so he's looking for the next king, and so he comes to a man named Jesse who has a slew of sons, and so you would expect it to be the firstborn, and Jesse is known to have had a lot of big strapping sons, but it's actually the runt of the litter that gets the anointing. It's little David, who's not even there for Samuel to look at. He's out tending his sheep. He's a shepherd. And so so we get a little bit from Samuel about why God has made this choice.
And this is 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab, who's one of the sons, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Yeah. And David is often referred to as the man after God's own heart. But, you know, he has a great love for God. And, you know, some of our most cherished portions of Scripture came from David's pen. I think of David as a kind of Renaissance man long before the Renaissance took place. But he not only was a shepherd, but he was also a musician. He was known to also soothe Saul with his lyre and his poetry. And that the poetry became many of the psalms in the book of Psalms. In fact, the 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, that one is David's psalm. And then he became a mighty king and a mighty warrior. And, you know, you would have in Scripture the reference that Saul might have killed his thousands, but David and his army, they're tens of thousands. So he was a pretty amazingly gifted person. But the thing that made him, you know, have such great stature in the eyes of God, it was his heart.
Right.
So we are very much, though, a culture and a world that looks on the outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that's so sad to me. That
It's hard not to. Mm-hmm. It's like it's such an automatic response, you know?
Yeah.
Should we play a song?
Yes, I think we should.
Got a tune here. It ties into all this good stuff we're talking about. From our buddy Ben Folds, Nashville's own Ben Folds, one of my favorites. This is called "There's Always Someone Cooler Than You."
Great song.
Smile like you've got nothing to prove. No matter what you might do, there's always someone out there cooler than you. You watch.
was There's Always Someone Cooler Than You by Ben Folds.
Plus, there was some very gifted editing on the part of my co-host, David Ross.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah. Thank you, David. And we apologize to Ben Folds for the editing, but this is a family show and a Sunday morning church-related show. So, but it's a great song. There is always someone cooler than you. But unless you're Batman, then Batman is cooler than cooler.
Doesn't get much better.
I think Jesus is cooler than everybody else, too. He's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool.
But the one thing Scripture tells us is, though, that he was not beautiful. That Isaiah talks about him, you know, basically not having looks, good looks to draw people to him. So I think that's always important to remember when we think about how God chose to be incarnated in the world. It was not in the form of an exceptionally beautiful person. And so he wants us to find our self-image in something other than our outward appearance. So you've got some scripture, I think, to share with us, David.
Yeah, this is from Romans 12, the words of Paul. And he says, "Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect." So that's kind of our answer to this question of where does my self-worth come from? You know, instead of comparing ourselves endlessly and some of the things that social media can do is make us envious and jealous and sad and all these things we're talking about, what's the answer? And we believe it's to have our minds and our hearts changed by God and seek what he wants. And that brings like true satisfaction and true happiness that's lasting.
Mm-hmm. And I think we in him, he wants community for us. And I think that's part of the reason why we have been so attracted to social media, because there is an element of community in it and keeping up with people and meeting new people. But it doesn't take the place of the community that we have with people in our churches or in other civic organizations or in our schools, in our workplaces, you know, in family, and in, you know, through our friendships. And I would encourage people to, as much as I enjoy social media and David does occasionally, that we also take time to unplug sometimes and get out and spend some time with people, and also just enjoy God's creation, soak up some sun, take a walk, you know, breathe some good air and spend time with God and spend time with people, because there's really no substitute for that. And maybe we also, for those of us who love God and strive to love our neighbors, also really try to be mindful of those folks who are struggling to find community.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And that's great, because that takes you out of like being, because we can obsess about our lives not being perfect. Like we can waste so much time thinking about that. But when you get out and you just like help somebody that needs help, like go feed some homeless people or go, you know, help your neighbor out with something, or go meet a neighbor you haven't even talked to yet. Like that just takes you out of that negative mindset so quickly.
Oh, absolutely. That's
a good thing to do.
And I would say, you know, as a pastor, I've been a pastor for many years now, and I think one of the privileges of being a pastor is that you kind of have a front row seat to the lives of people. And nobody's life is perfect. Nobody. Nobody. And there's a quote by the great writer Ernest Hemingway that has become a favorite of mine over the years, that says, "The world breaks everyone, but some become strong in the broken places." And I think that's true, that the world can be and is hard, and the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, as Shakespeare referred to it, they come at everybody. But we have a God who loves us and values us for everything that we are and sees us deeply, sees us and loves us for who we are, not just for how we look, and sees us as beautiful. And it, we can see ourselves as beautiful if we are rooted in that relationship with God. And there's a song that I really appreciated by Johnny Diaz called More Beautiful You, and it's going to be our closing song. So let's listen.
Little girl 14 flipping through a magazine, says she wants to look that way. But her hair isn't straight, her body isn't fake, and she's always felt overweight. Well, little girl 14, I wish that you could see the beauty is within your heart. And you were made with such care, your skin, your body, and your hair are perfect just the way they are. There can never be more beautiful. Another plan, only wants what you'll do instead. Well, little girl 21, you never thought this would come. You starve yourself to play the part. But I can promise you there's a man whose love is true. It'll treat you like the jewel you are. There can never be a more. It's not too late, you can be saved. If you feel depressed with past regrets, the shameful nights, hope to forget, can disappear, they can all be washed away. By the one who's strong, can right your wrongs, can rid your fears, dry out your tears, and change the way you look at this big world.
Again, that was Johnny Diaz, More Beautiful You. Love the lyrics in that song. There's a couple of them that I think are good for us as we end the show, that you were made to fill a purpose that only you could do, so there could never be a more beautiful you. So I hope you know that, Nashville. We are so glad that you've tuned in again. And let's also get reminded about where else you can find us. David, how can they find us or also listen to the show again?
Our podcast is also on iTunes, so these shows, you can listen again and find past shows on iTunes. Just search Bellevue Presbyterian Church Uprising. And feel free to send us an email, nashvilleuprising@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
And we'd love to see you. We'll be worshiping at 10:30 this morning at Bellevue Presbyterian on Highway 70 and Cross Timbers. We're right across from Red Caboose Park, so we'd love to see you if you'd like to come out and experience some community in person. Otherwise, we hope you will have a great week, Nashville. Peace out.
Peace out.